We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Talking about them fucking dogs. That's what I told them.
Hope it doesn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Yo, dogs. Welcome to the 100 Sanford Podcast. We are back in the building. It's Lovelace. It's Mr. George Foster. Foss, what's going on?
What's happening? We back in the place to be. You know, another week. Well, a lot of happenings since last week.
Since you went on vacation?
since last week, man. A lot has happened. You know, we're gonna get on into it, but a lot of stuff on the college football front, which definitely means there's some happenings on the Georgia football front, man. So let's talk about it.
Most definitely. Before we get started, first of all, this will probably be our last show before the holidays. So happy holidays to everybody out there. I know sometimes you don't get through the entire show. I just want to make sure we say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy Hanukkah to all of you folks out there. I want to make sure we represent everybody. And also Festivus for the rest of us. You know what Festivus is. Air those grievances.
Air them out.
air those jokers out. Also, before we get started, hit the subscribe button, the like button, notifications, and everything else so you get that notification so when new shows pop up, you get it fresh. Also, make sure you head on over to Dog Central under new platform, so to speak. It's with the Players Lounge. Man, that is booming over there. You got so much content. Graham is pumping out article after article. A great breakdown he just had just about the pickup of a coach that we're going to talk about also. And then last but not least, speaking of gifts and everything else that we like to try to give you with 100 Sanford, head on over to homefieldapparel.com. Make sure you get some new gear. Make sure you buy somebody something special. Man, they got all kind of good stuff. The new logos, the classic logos, mm-hmm. hoodies, tees.
They really kicking it, killing it with the classic logos.
Yeah, which is, man.
The classic happens to be my favorite. I like that old ugly bulldog, you know, with the scrunched up face. Yeah, I like him, man. That's my dude.
Yeah, man. Make sure y'all head on over there. Use the promo code 100 Sanford for 20% off on your first order on shipping and everything else. So make sure you head on over there. It's Christmas time. Hey, even if you're late, you still might be able to get something for somebody before you see them, before the holiday season's over. So make sure you head on over to Home Field Apparel. They'll appreciate it. We'll appreciate it. But now let's get into the crux of everything. Foss, you were on vacation. All kind of happenings are happening. Now, before you went on vacation.
I had Wi-Fi, though.
You must have been buzzing. Your phone was like, zzz, zzz, going off.
I saw what was going on, man.
Yeah, man. You know, before you left, though, I mean, there was some interest out there that Dylan Raiola may enter the, you know, may, I guess, decommit head on over to Nebraska. Boom. That ends up happening. We get that confirmed.
Yeah.
Also, we got a new coach in the fold. Dante Williams, the DB coach from USC, is now in the fold with the Georgia Bulldogs. What are your thoughts on those two things happening right off the rip? Because I think that was the biggest news before we actually hit National Signing Day, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, I talked to some of my people last week. People actually in Nebraska, and it was pretty much a done deal. But you know, I don't run my mouth like that. You know, when people want to make those decisions, make those announcements, they make them. I believe it was a foregone conclusion for most folks, but so nothing that we missed out on breaking with, you know, the 100 Sanford podcast. But last weekend, but last week. But yeah, that was a done deal pretty much last week. I got to finish this article I was reading on The Athletic. Just talked about how it all went down with Dylan calling Matt Rhule, and just the kid just and listen, if that was the case, that's fine. Even if it wasn't the case, the kid say he felt led to, you know, to go to Nebraska. He knows what Nebraska means to his family. Mm-hmm. He's got his legacy, you know, you know, he felt like he wanted to come check Nebraska out again, and he was feeling led to go there. I know how he probably initially maybe wanted to go there. When you think about it, his legacy, but who wants to follow in, you know, his dad's footstep? Different position, but still, dad was, you know, highly touted, you know, played a long time in NFL, Husker for life, uncle there. It was seem natural for a lot of these kids to want to blaze their own path elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But even though, you know, he still, you know, had them in his heart. So that's what he ended up having. I'm gonna finish the article later tonight. But Dylan Raiola, he's, you know, five-star quarterback that's now with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And he's got an opportunity there. You know, we'll see how fast he, you know, adjusts. Mm-hmm. It's never easy for a freshman quarterback. But we'll see how fast he adjusts because the competition, you know, it's wide open. It's wide open there. I wouldn't say the same at Georgia, not the way Carson Beck just played this year, and he's coming back.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because when the news broke, my immediate thought went to he is legacy. You know what I mean? And that was always in the mix. I think most fans didn't realize how much in the mix it really was, because mm-hmm. he was a commit at Ohio State last year. He decommitted, but then he still had Nebraska, you know, on the back burner. Then all of a sudden Georgia pops up and everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion because the kid, you know, selects Georgia, commits verbally, then moves to Georgia to play football, high school football. It's last year at Buford High School. But at the very same time, you always had that lingering in the background. So I know I've read some different reports as well that it was always there. You know, I mean, it was always stuck in his craw in terms of, you know, look, my dad went there, my uncle's there, I can blaze my own trail, maybe at Georgia, but at the same time, I could probably go to Nebraska and get everything I need, you know, the keys to the car, the keys to the house, everything that I need to be successful, and they're going to put everything, you know, around him to try to be as successful as possible. I think, personally, though, the other nail in the coffin was Carson Beck. Again, Georgia, just like it knocked Florida State out of the college football playoffs, it knocked Dylan Raiola out as well, with Carson Beck deciding to come back, which was a great choice for him, great choice for the University of Georgia, because huge. Yes. When you got that dude in you know, under center that mm-hmm. has after this year is going to have 14 valuable starts underneath his belt going into next season,
He's hitting the ground running. Imagine, I know we're getting off topic, but imagine the confidence he's coming into the season with next year as opposed to this year.
Yes.
Like we saw the evolution this year. Mm. You know, we saw him, you know, timid in some areas to begin the season, you know, and end up coming on strong. What did I tell y'all at the beginning? Before the season
started, You said it.
And I said it's a possibility. You know, because when we were talking about, you know, the young QBs and young prospective QBs, we were talking about, you know, maybe Carson Beck won't be here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We talked about it early in the season, and I said he's going to have a good year, and he's going to be in the mix to get drafted. And he most certainly was.
Hey, I tell you what, Foss, if there was, if Daniels did not have the year he had at LSU, mm-hmm. he would be in the NFL. Carson Beck would have left because if this year is so loaded with guys going into the NFL, that quarterback room, to me, one, that's another wise choice. You don't want to, I mean, heck, he might be one of those late round guys in the first round and go to a very good team that, you know, that might be able to pick him up that's trying to transition. But still, if coming back was going to be the best choice, he actually has the potential of going number one or being the top quarterback in next year's class because mm-hmm. he's that good, but two, he's only going to get even better. He's going to have more weapons this year coming up in 2024 with those dogs. But back to
Dylan. It happened with Daniels.
Yeah.
Like, Daniels,
you go.
Decent last year. This year came back and
blew
the doors off of everything.
Yes, sir.
And he's being talked up. He's being talked about in the top 10 by some people.
Yeah, man. Mel Kiper has him as the third best quarterback so far right now.
Yeah,
and he might be able to surpass Drake May. That's what he's saying. I mean, that's Kiper. We don't know.
I've learned over the years, man, people kind of dismiss Kiper. Mm-hmm. He has his times where he's off, but he also has some times where he's right there in the mix.
He knows the stuff.
Everybody, he's not some hack that's just there spitting out stuff. He does the work.
Facts. But back to Dylan, you know, just want to tell the fans, you know, just ease up on the kid. You know, I mean, he made his choice. It's his personal choice. He's at Nebraska now. And with that being said, when you got National Signing Day and you look at what the Dawgs were able to do on National Signing Day, would you be worried about a Dylan Raiola? And this is the other thing. Whenever something bad happens, quote unquote bad happens in Georgia, at Georgia and with Dawg Nation, Kirby Smart always has something that he throws back to be able to bring the fans back in.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this class, first of all, number one ranked class, no doubt about that. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This class was by far number one.
Look, I see right there. You see on the screen, this class, the number one class.
Yes, sir.
You know, Georgia first, Bama, Miami crept up there. Miami, maybe we'll talk about that on another show, man. I think Miami has potential to be better than what people think, because they're slowly building down there. Then you got Ohio State and Texas. This is what you need to do when you're entering the SEC. It's an arms race.
Mm-hmm.
It's an arms race, and they're getting their arms, you know, they're packing up, you know what I mean? But but back to, you know, these kids and these recruits. So, you know, we had people probably all bent out of shape about Raiola.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to call kids names and be weirdos. I wonder if some Georgia fans had the same words for KJ Bolden.
Right? There was a lot of people to eat some crow.
Yeah, and if it's all about loyalty, it is the other. Well, we got somebody that just flipped.
Yes.
We have somebody that just flipped on the day, on the on signing day.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Are you mad at that?
Man, that was, you know, and like, the funny thing is, with Dylan, mad, right?
Is he a traitor?
Right?
Is KJ Bolden a traitor?
With Dylan, you had about, I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 days to kind of get that underneath your belt.
Mm-hmm.
With KJ, it kind of crept up on everybody within 24 to 36 hours that there could be some smoke. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, all the services, 247, On3, all the, you know, analysts started saying, wait a minute, I'm flipping my, you know, I'm going to switch mine to Georgia. All of a sudden, it started to build. But you still had some trepidation. You still had some fans sitting there thinking, there's no way they're going to flip this kid from Florida State to Georgia, and he's a Buford kid. Lo and behold, he flips. And the wonderful thing about it, if you're a Georgia fan, if you're so mad about Dylan Raiola, go back and look at that film, because the look on Dylan's face was like, God, dog, I've been trying to get you to switch to Georgia the whole time, and I go to Nebraska, and you beat Georgia. Man, that was a wonderful moment. What's your thoughts on that, bringing KJ into the fold, man? Because this class is absolutely outstanding.
He gives, you know, this Georgia program is, you know, is heavily, you know, we love speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we love the guys on the back end and on the outside and in linebackers.
Yes, sir.
Now, when we can get those big, you know, the Jordan Davises, the, you know, the Jalen Carters, when we're getting them up front, we love them because it makes things easier on the back end. But, you know, we all know Coach Smart's, you know, background, you know, all SEC safety, you know, coach DBs for a number of years. That's his wheelhouse. He knows how important it is, especially in this current, you know, toss the ball around era. And they went and got some straight up, you know, missiles on there. You know, I'm starting to watch a lot of these kids' tapes, you know. But having KJ back there on the back end, you know, we got
Ellis Robinson.
We assume, you know, the safeties. I don't know how many we can get back, but we probably should get all of them back, right? Or is Tyke a senior?
Tyke's coming back. Starks is coming back. There's still some room right now in terms of Bullard if he's going to come back. He had a dynamic year, but it could be. We'll see. That's up in the air.
We'll see. You know, so
and Dirty Dan came back. Dirty Dan came back for depth.
Dirty Dan. And so we got those guys, but they're – after this year, they're long in the tooth. You know, 24, he's – you know, we cannot – he's the best safety in football. Let's just assume he's out of here. next year.
Yeah.
And then you got the guys that have exhausted eligibility or, you know, and also highly rated guys that probably be gone. Having KJ coming into the fold, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. You got him. You're going to get Aguero back and hitting the ground running. Kirby loved him from safeties, man. You know, and Georgia always been safety you, man. We've had some amazing safeties even since, you know, right when I got there or just before too, and so they're keeping the tradition alive. We got the number one player at every level, you know, well from linebacker on back.
There you go.
The number linebacker. One linebacker, number one corner, number one safety. Those are program builders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're trying to get that defense back to, you know, 2-3 years ago. You know, last year they did what they could, but we're gonna be more disruptive.
Well, you know what I like about it, because you talked about the number one safety, number one linebacker, number one corner. They're playmakers. Go and look at their film. They are playmakers. You want to see a dynamic film?
Listen,
at Ellis Robinson IV going up against Jeremiah Smith and seven on sevens. You got the number one corner going up against the number one wide receiver. Both of them bona fide. Both of them going to the NFL. I call it right now. It's just going to happen. They both going to be stars in the NFL. That was like a shootout, man. I mean, that was like the OK Corral. I mean, those two going at it was nasty. And when you get that type of demeanor, when you get that type of playmakers at all those levels, I haven't even talked about Justin Williams yet, the linebacker from Texas.
Listen, I went and watched some clips on him today. Hey, wall to wall.
Speed.
See ball, get ball.
Yes, sir.
See ball, get ball. He goes get it. You know, if it's a lineman in the way, so be it. he running through linemen.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Fullbacks, tight ends, to anything he needs to run through to go get that ball. And that's what we want. And we add him to what's already there. Listen, we got some linebackers, dude. I don't think people know that because they're used to the same numbers, you know, used to seeing Pop back there, used to seeing, you know, when we're getting to him, Pop left, Pop's going to Kentucky, I believe. Kentucky.
Yeah.
And good luck to him, man. He played some great ball for us. Mm-hmm. You know, he's making room for CJ Allen.
CJ Allen, yes, sir.
We saw.
Hey, boss, look.
My man essentially got Wally Pipped, but hey, it is what it is. It happens on. Hey, you got to stay on the field when you got them whippers.
You got, yeah, man.
You know what I mean? So we saw what CJ Allen was as a true freshman. So it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
At some point.
And then you got Raylan. Raylan Wilson, he was the fastest linebacker in his class, I believe.
I remember
seeing his name on those catapult lists. You know, catapult is the GPS system that they put on all the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're moving at practice. It helps with recovery and all that, because if you're consistently running, you know, 18 miles per hour, and then the last 2 days you're at 16 miles per hour, it's like, what's going on? You know, how you feeling? You might not feeling bad. Are you tight? This, that, and the other. It helps with a lot of stuff, and it shows you how fast your guys are running.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep all the data. And they were talking about the fastest players in high school. Raylan Wilson is a linebacker. He was like the second fastest player on the list, you know, his senior year. Like, it's some speed back there, linebacker for Georgia, man. And they're just getting faster and faster. It's gonna get nasty.
Fuzz. And this brings up another point. Everybody was concerned about the portal. I get it. When you're a fan, you just got done losing the SEC championship. You're trying to go for a three-peat, and everybody's saying, oh, man, what's going on? Because all of a sudden, you got all these guys portaling. The very first thing that we said was, look at who is jumping into the portal. It's not that they're bad ball players. Sometimes you just get processed out. You start to look around and say, wait a minute, you know what? I thought I was good. I thought I was that dude. But now there's another dude who is really that dude here. Kirby said it himself. He actually said, you know what? He understands if you've been on the roster for 2, 3, 4 years and you haven't really gotten that opportunity to get time, you might want to go into the portal, look for another position. I mean, look for another spot to go to so you can get that opportunity to play and show some tape. If you're a freshman, he said, you know what? You should probably stay and develop. But I get it. I get it if you're not that dude, because look, we all measure ourselves up against the guy next to us and we say, I think I can beat this dude. I think I don't know if I can get this one. But when you see this type of talent coming in, this is not just the number one class, but this is the number one class with exceptional talent coming in at every position. And when I haven't even gotten to the main crux of everything, Foss, which was, did you see the trenches? The thing that Georgia lacked this year was a defensive line, the defensive middle of that defensive line. And also now the attrition of a lot of guys going into the NFL, maybe jumping in the portal for the on the offensive side of the ball. But they're also changing the philosophy for us. Each one of those guys that they're bringing in on the offensive line, nobody is less than 315. Everybody else, 350, 345, 371. We're talking about guys that can move some furniture, create some holes, and then allow these explosive running backs that they've also got to tote that tater. You got Robinson coming back. You got Paul in the backfield. You got some backs already. Man, it can get real nasty real quick if any of these guys can jump into the starting lineup, along with having the signal caller back there, Carson Beck. Hey, dog fans, throw that portal stuff to the side, the guys that left. Appreciate these new dogs coming on in.
They're loading up, man. They signed 28 guys.
28.
That's a lot of dudes, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people sitting at around 21, 23, you know, 24. You know, get 28 new guys in your program, that's awesome, man, because not everybody is building like that. A lot of these teams, they need that portal. We supplement with the portal.
Yeah, we supplement with the portal.
We need to, it's kind of like the, the chef with you at the restaurant and your table wobble a little bit, and you get the waitress to come put that little wedge up on the table bit, the stable that thing got. You know what I mean? We're not asking for a new table. You know what I mean? Right. We don't need a new table like some teams.
Exactly.
We need just give a little sum up under that to level that thing out. And that's what Georgia does with the portal. I see a lot of complaints a lot of times of, these teams, they're taking, portal guys over, giving these high school kids a chance. And some of these high school kids are getting left out to dry. Don't put that on us. We take all high school kids, Bubba.
We get all of them.
We're in a position now to where we can get the best of the best. And I think that has to be the way you build a program. It's just like with the NFL. You won't build your dynasty through free agency. Mm-hmm. It's best to build it through your draft. I feel like it's the same way. I feel like it's the same way with college football. I think you need to build with these recruiting classes because you have those guys in your building, typically for multiple years. And those are guys that wanted to be there from jump. Those are guys that typically have a better feel for your program than guys that, hop in for a year. I feel great about where we're at, man. I wish I was gearing up to go to a playoff game or a natty, but I'm still excited about what we continue to build over there in Athens. I'm very impressed by that whole program, the staff. It seems like, like they said at the beginning of this year, the theme was better never rest. They're not resting. You know what I mean? I believe mm-hmm. they're, maybe getting kicked out was a great thing this year. They really chomping at the bit. They want this bad, come next year.
Well, 2 points. We did talk about the portal. The Dogs did pick up one guy out of the portal, London Humphreys, the wide mm-hmm. receiver from Vanderbilt. Kid can go out there and get it. Bigger receiver. So it goes to show you what they're trying to replace. They're trying to replace those outside receivers that are a little bit bigger, that can actually body some people, help out a guy like Carson Beck, because he's going to lose Brock Bowers, right? He's going to lose his comfort blanket, so to speak, and that guy that can actually stretch the seam that's, obviously the greatest tight end in college football. So he's going to lose that. So London Humphreys coming in can actually help. We don't know yet who's going to actually commit to the NFL, commit to going forward. It could be Rosemary Jack Saint who might leave and go to the NFL. So that type of body type is something that can be replaced. The other thing is that you mentioned something, Foss. You mentioned how the Dogs are building, right? And one thing about it, everybody caught on to the Hugh Freeze comment where he said, people go out there and they recruit until late at night and everything else. One, the Dogs never stop recruiting. Kirby never stops recruiting. That wasn't a shot at Kirby. That was a shot at his own program and him understanding that, I got to up my ante in terms of what I'm going to do. But he also said something else that was very important. He said, I wanted them to feel like they're the priority. He was talking about high school kids, because up until this point, Auburn also hasn't really hit the portal too hard. There's some speculation of some guys that they're going to go after. But he also looked at it and said, there's two teams that are in the SEC that have always built through their high school program, their high school recruiting. It's Georgia and it's Alabama. That's the arms race. And when you look at what Georgia's building and what Georgia continues to build and what Georgia continues to have with that foundation and that culture and core, it's the high school recruiting. So when you lose 18, 19 guys in the portal, They didn't go into the portal to kind of replace him. They went into their own bag of high school recruits and went out there and got the number one class. And they got some big boys. They got some speed. They got some talent. They got some specialists. And they kind of refilled that cupboard, which is already full with excellent talent already on the roster. But when you add these guys that can push the guys that are in front of them, that can up the ante in terms of practices, that them bloody Tuesdays and everything else we hear about, hey, look, the Dawgs are going to be rolling, man. They're going to be rolling in a mighty way.
Yes, sir.
So a quick breakdown on what they did pull in. 6 offensive linemen, 8 DLs, defensive linemen, and defensive ends. Obviously, the quarterback and Puglisi. 3 running backs. What I love about that, each of them their own different style. You got Bowens. He's a little bit, you know, a little mixture of a little bit of power, little bit of speed. You got Frazier, the number 2 running back in the country. Nothing but wiggle. When you go and look at his tape and you look at his feet, you're talking about Swift. You're talking about, you know, these guys that can actually put their foot in the ground, make a guy miss in a heartbeat. Then you got Dwight Phillips.
And I don't know what we're going to do with him, but I don't know what we're going to do with Phillips. We got to find something to do with
instantly.
Him. Give it like instantly. Like we got to need to find something now because
he has his own package.
Yeah. Cause it ain't, you know, when he touches the field, he's the fastest guy on the field.
Yeah.
You know, his daddy is an Olympian. You know what I mean? Dwight Phillips Sr. You know, for those of you who do not know, who are unaware, go look up his daddy. You know, his daddy represented the U.S. of A.
Yes, sir.
In track and field. And the apple did not fall far from the tree at all.
And it translates. Know. It translates from the track to the field.
He's fast on that field, Jack.
Yeah, he's running fast with the pads.
Yes. He went 100 yards his first game this season.
Yes, sir.
You know, to the house. You know, so he's a, you know, super fast kid. So I like that they weren't afraid to sign with Georgia, you know, because these kids like Paul is gonna be good. Robinson gonna be good. Then we got Branson coming back. Yes. He's gonna be
chomping. He's ready to go.
He's gonna be hungry. He's gonna be swole too. You know he like to. You know he like lift weights. He's gonna be swole. Listen.
Oh man.
And I can't wait, man. I can't wait. We probably gonna lose, you know, a couple guys. I'll be surprised if we didn't lose, you know, Mims. Have we heard anything on Mims yet?
Mims ain't going. There's no way he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's already listed maybe top 10, top 15.
Yeah.
And he's a stud. So, yeah.
We're going to lose, you know, probably a couple linemen, but we're going to have some ready to, you know, move some furniture out there, man, to get these running backs the ball. You know what I mean? Because we got some backs, Jack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We need them, man. We just through attrition, man, lost a lot of, you know,
running through injury. Back. Yeah, through injury and everything.
Early. Early on, man. You know, and so that you know, we was able to fight through it, but you know, it was tough.
Yeah.
But we got a stable full now.
Yes, sir. Props out there to Dale McGee because everybody was kind of down on him. You know, he's the guy that everybody, you know, was bringing in all these recruits and all of a sudden people are looking at the backfield and they're saying, man, we don't have nobody explosive. Well, he went out there and got some explosive backs for this class. Also, 3 defensive backs, 2 wide receivers in this class. Obviously, I think they're going to go into the portal, maybe pull another 1 or 2 out of there. Already talked about London Humphreys. And let's not forget, man, let's show some love, man. Drew Miller, the number 1 punter in his class. So we also pulled a guy that's leading his actual position group. So
I didn't know that. Someone just told me that on Twitter about Drew Miller.
Yes, sir.
I like that we continue to do that. This staff, they make no issue with, you know, spending a scholarship on our special teams.
Facts.
You know, and it pays off. You got to have that. you know, they spend, you know, because you only have so many scholarships. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people like to, you know, spend their scholarships on, you know, position players, and they like to get the walk-ons that kick and punt and all of that stuff. And but not Georgia. They got the number one kicker last year. Well, he was at least top.
He was number one.
So he was number one. They got the number one punter this year because it's important. You know, it's a field position game, and when those guys can flip the field like that and score points, it's important.
Yeah. Well, you saw Thorson. He's a little upset that Carson Beck came. He's like, come on, yeah, bro. If you back, I ain't get no shine. I don't get an opportunity.
Hey, man. Look, man, hey, just take, in the NFL. take advantage of, you know, the opportunities you get, Brett. You know, I'm sorry for you, man, but we don't want you out there too much.
Believe it. So we talked about the class a little bit, bro, but we also didn't talk about, I kind of mentioned it earlier, Dante Williams. You know, great recruiting, first of all, that Georgia already pulled off the number one class. Mm-hmm. You lose Fran Brown. Mm-hmm. People don't realize, and I said this, if you were listening to this show 2 years ago when Fran came in, I made my calls because I knew people up in Jersey. I knew people at Rutgers. I had family that played there. I said, what's Fran like? They said he is a bona fide stud. When they say a stud, like we talking recruiter, we're talking coach, but we talking about the guy that can build relationships like nobody else can build them. Like he's just that genuine. We see that now as he actually accepts a job at Syracuse. My man has went up there and he's looking like primetime Deion Sanders, bringing everybody with him and everybody wanting to jump at Syracuse in the cold.
They need him, and they wanted him.
Yes, sir.
As you know, man, Falk's got people everywhere, man. They wanted him for a while, and I knew this was coming. Mm-hmm. I knew he was going to be interviewed right after the Tech game. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my best friends, you know, went to Syracuse, and he has some ties up there with the board and all of that stuff. And they had their eyes set on Fran Brown because they know what he meant. They know what he means to the Northeast.
Yep.
And you have to be able to recruit that Northeast. And, you know, now he has ties to Georgia and the base that they recruit and the type of guy that he is and the type of kids that he's recruiting. He's, you know, he's one of the guys, you know. He's a young dude. He can relate to the youngsters. You know, he's one of those guys. He can relate, you know. He said it before, you know, and he's giving, you know, you like to take coaches at their word, but I saw him say the other day, he's there. You know, he said, man, I'm from welfare. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need nothing else. You know what I mean? Right. A lot of coaches, you know, they plop down for a couple years and then they go get another bigger bag, you know. Right. To his words, he said he's there. He don't need another bigger bag. You know, this is much more than he ever seen before in his life. You know what I mean? And so he said he's there to build a program. And so, we lost that. But, you know, from what I'm hearing, Dante, you know, we're getting similar recruiting,
man. You know,
we're
talking about, you know, I think what people saw, they saw, okay, he's from USC, and all you see is the highlights of USC getting burned defensively, mm-hmm. but you're not seeing the body of work that this dude has been able to put in. He's the number one recruiter out west. So Kirby ain't going to let one recruiter go out the door that can build relationships. He's going to go get another guy. And here's the thing with recruiting. It's not just about sitting down talking to a young fella or talking to a family. You got to love that thing. You got to love being on the road. You got to love building relationships. You got to love the entire grind. And that's what he seems to love to do. Not only that, when you talk about his DBs, his secondary, they cause turnovers. They have always caused turnovers. His DBs have always been able to play that outside boundary position that everybody's always so worried about at Georgia, which you don't necessarily have to worry about because the way they're coached up in the safety positions, not a lot of blown plays happen at Georgia. But if you get this guy that's able to help develop this DB group to actually attack the ball at the same time, it could get really, really scary in Georgia. It can get really scary in Athens. He's 41 years old. I mean, he's been able to recruit guys out there in the West Coast that, you know, the Foremans, I think, what's the kid's name that's in the portal now? Damani? I think that's his first
from,
name.
From
USC.
USC, yeah.
Yeah, USC. I mean, he can go out there and get the guys, man. But, you know, the thing about Kirby, look, everybody else is playing chess. I mean, checkers. Kirby's playing, you know, he's playing chess. That's what he's doing, man. He's playing chess. No doubt about it.
I trust Coach Smart with who he's bringing in as coaches. You know, he's going to also, in addition to while he's developing his players, I feel like he's developing his coaches too, cuz he's been around great coaching. He's learned from the greatest. And so he's, you know, I feel like these coaches are coming to his staff. Because listen, let's be honest with you. You know, you can sit out there on that West. He could have sat out there on that West Coast and done great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't have to leave USC. He could have stayed there.
They threw a bag at Lincoln Riley. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's gonna continue to get.
And he's a holdover from Lincoln. He's a holdover from the last administration at USC. So that's how much Lincoln Riley felt about him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that'll be, you know, that'll always be able to fit in at a top tier program. He's like my boy Coach G, Rodney Gardner, who, mm-hmm. you know, who was at Tennessee and then Georgia, mm-hmm. and then, you know, Auburn, then his alma mater, then back at Tennessee where he is now. Because, you know, one, he can coach; two, he's a hell of a recruiter. You know what I mean? And that's his reputation. When you get a reputation as a bona fide recruiter,
mm-hmm.
you can pretty much guarantee that you'll be paid for a long time. You know, but he could have sat out there and just relaxed, been good in his environment. But he came to Georgia for a reason. You know, only he knows what that reason is. But I can assume it's to coach the best players in the country and to get that game. To get that game from Coach Mark. And he just seen a DB coach get a head coach job.
Right.
Being on that staff.
You know, that's what I thought about, Foss. When you look and you see a fellow DB coach get a head coaching job. Now, here he is. He's 41. People forget he was also the interim head coach before Lincoln Riley got there. So he got a little taste of it. He won a game or two. Then all of a sudden he goes back to being the defensive, you know, the defensive back coach and the defensive pass coordinator. When you look at it, that was my thoughts. He's going to go and try to pick the brain of Kirby Smart, of Muschamp. And just think about this. KJ Bolton, and I got to go back to Fran Brown, and I'm going to flip it right back to Williams. KJ Bolton goes up to Syracuse on a visit. He went with a teammate, but who actually pointed him back in the direction of Georgia? Fran Brown. The statement that Fran Brown made was this, and I quote, because he tweeted this out after KJ after another tweet. Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp taught me big homie moves. Their knowledge is priceless. Got to have fun with it now. You're talking about a guy with integrity that, you know, kind of throws a kid back to say, look, my program isn't right where it should be. I know that you might not want to come here, but you need to go to the next best spot, which is Georgia. And he's saying that he learned everything that he learned to get to that next level from Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp. This guy, Dante Williams, you have to be able to see that. You have to understand that that's your next move. That's your next big move, to come in, get the knowledge, get the understanding, get the grind, because you already got the grind on the recruiting trail. But how can you get to that next level? Then you look at a guy like Dan Lanning. What's he doing? Putting in work out at Oregon. It looks like nothing but Kirby's, you know, coaching tree all of a sudden is starting to be that tree. I tell you what, I want to be fruit on that tree. That's what I want to be.
Yeah, that's how it all, that's how it happened. You know, we got to give, there's no denying it. You know, it's no use in denying it. This is the blueprint. It's the Bama blueprint. Coaches didn't go latch on to that Alabama program because it was fun, because it was peaches and cream all the time, because Nick was so nice and nurturing. And, you know, they went down there to get that game and to get some of that sauce rubbed off on them. You dig? You know, so, and it worked for a lot of them. A lot of them go off and, you know, be good coaches, you know, become coordinators, become head coaches, and coming off that Saban tree. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is going to start happening at Georgia. It already started with Lanning.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Yeah, man. So hopefully he comes in, hits the ground running. There's some guys that are out there in the portal, some guys that he might be able to pull in from the West Coast if there was a need offensively. Just throw a couple names out there. You got Colby from Miami, Colby Young that Georgia's looking at. We know that. We got Trevor Etienne, another running back that Georgia's looking at. Some speculation that maybe both of those guys could come into the fold. I'm not going to go out there and throw anything out there yet, but there's some speculation that those guys can hit, come into Athens and be another additional threat for the Dogs. But a guy like Williams, you hope, who already has relationships all over the place, can actually continue to bring in some more talent and upgrade that defensive backfield, which Georgia is definitely going to need, you know, moving forward too, because people forget the SEC is getting nothing but better. You got Texas getting better. You got Alabama that's kind of reloaded. We thought they were down. Nah, Nick done revived them boys.
Never.
Yeah, they're never down. And so then you got the college football playoffs expanding, going from 4 games to 12 games, which gives you a little insight on why Kirby went and got them big boys in the middle. You got to be able to wear teams down. You got to be able to win in the trenches, which you always talk about, Foss. You always talk about winning in the trenches. It looks like that's what they're trying to do. Win in the trenches, be explosive where they can be explosive, with the wide receivers that they already got. They already got some dynamic speed, some dynamic wide receivers on that roster in terms of speed. But now the run game's going to pick back up. We're going to see a different team in 2-4. I believe an even more explosive team than we saw this year, I think we'll see in 2-4, especially with them trusting Carson Beck just a little bit more. Before we go, because that's National Signing Day,
yeah,
we would be remiss. We talked about the top five, Foss. We talked about the top five. We talked about Georgia being number one. I'm going to throw this graphic back up. Georgia number one, Alabama 2, Miami 3, Ohio State 4, Texas 5. But we got to give honorable mention to Florida. We got to give them honorable mention. Florida started off hot. You know what I mean? We got Big Silk throwing out things in terms of, you know what, man, Florida's on the rise again. Billy's down here doing what Billy's doing. Come on. They had more people flipping than flapjacks at the Waffle House, bro.
Hey man, they had
a bad day.
They gotta do better. You know, I tell you what though. That quarterback,
Lagway, DJ Lagway. Yeah,
they you know, they had to keep him. You know, it's never bad to have a quarterback be a cornerstone. Mm-hmm. I give him that much. That kid right there, man. I was looking at his numbers,
and I've seen
some clips on him, man.
Yeah,
is that Cam Newton? What's going on? You know, you rush for 1,000 yards, throw for over 4,000. Like, that kid is good. You know what I mean? Hopefully, they don't have nobody to block for him versus Georgia.
Look, man. I mean,
otherwise, I hope the guy does great.
Big kid, strong arm. A lot of people thought he was going to flip. That actually came to the last moment from what we hear in terms of him actually staying committed to Florida. But, you know, when you lose that many guys, too, also that NIL money kind of kicks in. It's like, all right, boss, you know, seems like you got an extra $250K in that bank. You know, you might want to roll that over this way. So a lot of times, though, like you just mentioned, when you got that signal caller kind of like what Nebraska's going to have in Dylan Raiola. Now all of a sudden you got to build everything around the kid to make him successful. Mm-hmm. If Billy's smart, he does all of that. He makes this kid successful because it's going to carry your program, at least for the short term, because they didn't recruit the trenches well. That's what wins in the SEC. They're still going to have trouble, you know, beating the big teams that are bullying them in terms of a Georgia and Alabama. I don't even know if they got Texas on their roster, on their schedule for next year. But some of those teams that have beat them up in the trenches, they're still going to have that problem. I mean, they've already lost a guy like Trevor Etienne, which was their most explosive player on offense. You know, the sophomore, they've already lost him. How are you going to replace him? So they're going to have another down year, a mid-year, an average year. Maybe they get the 6-6, something
they
like
gotta
that.
They got to get their business in order.
Yeah.
You know, just their rumblings today from parents not being, you know, kept up to speed on coaches leaving. You know, the linebacker coach left to be DC in Texas, Texas A&M, and then tell players that he was just, you know, kicking with the day before.
Yeah.
And nobody knew he was leaving. You know, it's cool. You know, an upgrade. It's a, you know, a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's everybody's goal. You know, you want to be, you know, you want to go from position coach to coordinator if you can. You know, most people do. But let these people know. You know what I mean? You don't want that smut on your name, you know, as a program. You know what I mean? Because people know the program more so than they know the coaches. And so it's not just on your name. Now, you know, coach got to do, you know, damage control for the brand. You know, that's not a good look. You know, but hey, look, ain't my problem. You know who I'm with. You know who I'm with.
Well, you talking about
have no problems. We got a top tier program over here. We don't have those issues.
Well, you talking about Jay Bateman, man, and that is kind of slimy, if you ask me. Because if you're bringing in kids, right, and it's signing day, you're making them feel comfortable that you're going to be in the house. You're the guy that's actively recruited them. You're the guy that sat down and talked to them about how you're going to utilize them in your system. You're telling the family you're going to be there. You're kissing babies. You know what I'm saying? You're eating grandma's food. All this other good stuff that you're doing. Then all of a sudden you dip out in the middle of the night.
But you got a 2-day bag packed already at the house. You knew you was going somewhere, man.
Right.
Your bag was packed. You ain't rush home from the swamp. Yeah, go pack that bag, you know, after Saturday. That bag was packed. Your flight was booked.
Yes,
you
sir.
You know what I'm saying? Your wife, I don't know if he's married or kids, but whatever, their flights were booked and all that. You knew what was going to happen.
But that's a culture thing, right? I mean, think about it. Fran knew he was leaving. He had already left. He had already taken the Syracuse job. At the same time, he's still actively looking out for the old program, the old kids that he was recruiting. And think about this. I'm going to go even deeper, Foss. This is how well the man recruited when he was at Georgia. And I have to go back to Fran Brown. How many guys from Jersey still stuck with Georgia instead of flipping? You got the big boys that stuck with Georgia and could have flipped and said, you know what? No, I'm going to go to Ohio State. I'm going to go to Penn State. Heck, I'll follow you, Fran. I'll follow you up to Syracuse. But when you build a culture that people respect, that is built off of integrity, and I know people are going to roll their eyes, oh, there's no integrity in college football. Look, man, there's honor amongst men. I'm talking about culture, and I'm talking about men being men and actually being, you know, really forthright with the families, because that's what matters. I mean, I'm not going to say whose names that I talked to, but there's a lot of players, even on the Georgia squad, where their families that I talked to, they had to take another look and say, you know what, Fran's leaving, do I stay? That's how much he meant. But he also relayed to them, like, no, it's not about me. It's about you and your development. I feel that this is the best spot for you to develop and become everything that you want to become moving forward. If things don't work out, call the big homie up. Instead, stay where you're at, develop, and become that dude. When you're at Florida and you got a guy like Jay Bateman, and again, I ain't gonna knock the cat. I don't know his background. He ain't my star, right?
I don't know the situation. Yeah, and I can't call 100% that everything you see online is true, because we all know that ain't true. But there was word that families didn't know, and families have to know.
Yeah, man.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, you're sending your baby somewhere
when you're dealing with kids. You know.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's your baby. You know, they're kids. Emphasis on the kid part. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't, you know, respect is, you know, you want to be respected, you know, but, you know, you don't owe adults too much of anything. These kids, you know, you owe them a heads up.
Yeah, man. No doubt about it.
And you know he told his boss.
Yeah, he knew. So Billy knew.
So boss knew too.
Now, yep. Now look at Billy. Now I'll just be honest. Billy don't seem like he a very trustworthy cat. He can come into my house. he ain't recruiting my kid. I'm like, yo, boss, you all that smiling, all that grinning you doing, you know, trying to pet the bulldog and all that. You just keep that moving, because you don't seem like you too trustworthy, bro. Now I feel bad, because you know, one of the cats that I went to school with, he's actually the assistant head coach, Sean Spence, Coach Chaos down there in Florida. Mm-hmm. Big ups to him. That's my guy. As a matter of fact, I got to hit him up. You know, he said he's going to hit me up, but I got to hit him up. Good defensive line coach, was at Penn State for years. So I hope he does well, not against Georgia, but against everybody else. I hope he develops well. Mm-hmm. I know he's a stand-up guy, but, you know, Billy, I don't know, man. Billy seemed like he a little off a little time. You know? I don't know. But, hey, man. Before we go, like I said, we started the show off in terms of happy holidays to people. What's on your Georgia, you know, Christmas wish list, brother? What's on the wish list as we get ready to close out before the holidays? What are you thinking about? What you need the big guy to come down and give you?
My wish list, we talking about?
It could be anything. It Georgia. It could be football related. It could be program related. It could be personal. Listen, you know what I'm saying?
Man, because that class is wonderful, man. We already, Santa came early. My wish list is to make sure I have tickets for Tuscaloosa when it's time. that's a short drive right on over there, mm-hmm. Alabama. That's my wish list.
okay.
Other than that, man, I'm blessed, man. You know, I get asked about what I want for Christmas and stuff. I don't be knowing, man. I'm low maintenance, and I also, you know, if it's within reason during the season and during the year, and I see it, I get it all ready.
Right. Ain't that the truth?
You know what I mean? Because it don't never be nothing major. You know what I mean? If I see a couple cigars I want, I buy them. You know what I'm saying? Cigars ain't gonna break the bank. You know what I mean? A couple 20 bucks, you know, 30 bucks.
I don't be
wanting anything, but I'd be grateful for everything.
I feel that.
Genuinely grateful. You know, even if it's, you know, people talk bad about draws and socks and all this stuff. Give me all the draws and socks.
Man, you missed the opportunity for Manscaped when we got the free draws.
Listen, man, when you're a grown man, when ain't nothing like some nice new soft draws. And socks match, and all, you know, ain't nothing like some good socks and drawers and undershirt and all that stuff, man. Ain't nothing like it. So I don't knock it. All you folks that knock it, man, send them to me. You know what I'm saying? When your loved ones give you socks and drawers, hey, I'll take them.
Hey, man, my wife, you know, she's notorious for shopping at Amazon. Everybody knows that and listens to the show. I come back every day, 4, 5, 6 boxes every day in front of the house, man. Like, we have stock. So I just went down there today, just moving stuff around. She's like, what you doing, looking for your gifts? I'm like, look, I don't even need anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm straight. Like, get stuff for the kids. Get stuff for yourself. I'm like yourself. If I need something, I get it. You know, I mess around with my grill. If I want some new gear, I'll get some new gear every now and then, mm-hmm. something like that. But when it comes down to it, man, just good health, man. I just want good health to be able to continue to ride this ride out, you know, watch my kids grow, watch this dog mm-hmm. team continue to do what it does. And I'm going to go, like you said, man, instead of Alabama, though, I want them Texas tickets. I haven't been to a game up at Austin. I've been to the stadium, took tours and all that when I was in Texas.
I went to Austin for the first time this year. Yeah. But that wasn't for football.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, Austin's cool, man.
Yeah.
I want to get there.
Nice place.
Listen, them tickets right now, though. Not the tickets. Hotels and stuff right now.
Yeah. I ain't staying in Austin. I'll stay outside, about an hour and a half away.
Yeah, you gotta take a drive.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got family there. And yeah, I got people that I know.
Now that's dope.
Yeah.
Now, if you have some family, I don't know anybody. Well, I don't know if I know anybody that I played with, but not anybody that I could be like, hey, let me get a room. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I found a couple of nights stay about 20 some minutes away from the stadium, which ain't bad, you know. For I guess if you want to call half decent price, you know what I mean, just to put on hold,
yeah,
you know, for that game.
Which one, Tuscaloosa or Austin?
Austin. Oh, Tuscaloosa, yeah. that's a day trip, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, hopefully you can stay up on the way back, you know, but that should be a day trip.
But that Austin one, Austin.
And so we'll see, you know, if, you know, I'll keep the room if at the time, if it looks like it's worth going, I'll mm-hmm. keep the room and, you know, just make a trip out of it. And it should be sweet. And what else? But you know what else is out there that weekend? F1. That's why it's so crazy.
Yeah, that's gonna be
fun. You got Formula One and
dogs. It's in Austin. The Formula One's in Austin. Oh my gosh!
You know they start doing Formula One in the States. Like, at least they had Vegas this year,
man,
and which was nuts. So they're gonna have Formula One in Austin that same weekend.
Man, every Texas hillbilly gonna be out there partying like crazy.
Pandemonium.
Oh my gosh. While I'm at it, shout out to my girl, Dee Henderson, man. She's like another mother for me. Worked with her. She's a Texas grad. So she every week she tunes in and she says, hey, I'm proud of you, proud of the show growing, but you got to give Texas some love because my boys are back. So, Dee, right there, I'm giving you some love. Texas is in the college football playoffs. They joining the SEC. But at the same time, we about to dig all up in you.
It's coming.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But hey, man, unless you got anything else, you know, it might be about that time for us to do what we do, get up out of here. It's up to you.
Until next time, man. Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. We up out.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.
Yeah.